Thank you, John. Thank you, folks, for that good singing. And the songwriter worded it right. The blood of Jesus Christ will be used by him to save all of his ransomed church. And he, the Lord Jesus, didn't try to ransom his people. He paid the ransom price in full. Not one thing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. It's all been taken care of. All because of the blood of Christ, we can come before the presence of God with joy unspeakable, giving him all the praise for what he has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pastor Mahan had it right in that article that he wrote. It's by grace alone, through Christ alone, by the word of God alone. And we're dedicated here at Rescue Baptist Church. We're dedicated to the preaching of the gospel as we go through the scripture. So I draw your attention to the book of Hebrews. We're going through this book in a verse-by-verse study, and we're currently coming to, or we started the last message, the first part of chapter 6, and I want to read that in your hearing again, along with some of the other verses that follow. But let me use this as an introduction. For many, many years, false religionists who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ have attempted to unite all who claim to be Christians into their sinful religious beliefs. They try to put a guilt trip on others by saying things like, all of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us agree to disagree. Or, love for one another should cause us to compromise certain truths. Or, for the sake of unity, we should not get on subjects that are controversial. Brethren, two can't walk together except they be agreed. The Word of God says that. God's enlightened children dare not, nay, we must not compromise any gospel truth.
Amen.
Everything in God's word is controversial, especially the glorious gospel of his amazing grace through the merits of Jesus Christ, his darling son. I'll just give you an example. It is commonly taught, which is also controversial, that Columbus founded America in 1492. That's less than 600 years ago. During that time, the multitude of the people on this earth thought the earth was flat. Even though in the book of Job, which is the oldest of all books of the Bible, the Word of God teaches the circumference of the earth, that it's round. So, even back then, and it's rumored that there are some today who still think the earth is flat. We won't get on that. But multitudes of professing Christians who are nothing but religious hypocrites who do not know Jesus Christ and the gospel of his saving grace believe a chosen, blood-bought child of God can lose his or her salvation. And those who teach such heresy, and those who believe that blasphemous lie, put the Son of God to an open shame. One of their favorite passages of Holy Scripture that they misuse to deceive their unregenerate hearts is right here in the 6th chapter of Hebrews, which will be our text for this morning's message. Now, that's the responsibility of God's preachers to rightly divide the word of truth. And it is the truth that our Lord Jesus uses to set us free from our own deceitful heart. Our heart, our natural heart, that's not talking about the muscle that pumps the blood is talking about the inward man, that natural man That heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we come into this world that way, running from God, hating God, having no use for His gospel or His people. We want a God of our own imagination, a God that we can manipulate, a God that's in our control. And it takes the truth of the gospel preached by God's faithful preachers, made effectual by the sovereign power of God the Holy Spirit, to set us free from that old deceitful heart, to make us aware that salvation is of the Lord from start to finish, and to receive the blessings that God has ordained before this world was ever created, the blessings that He gives to His people, to receive those blessings, and every blessing that God has for His people, those blessings are found in Christ Jesus. And they were ordained for His people before a star ever twinkled in the sky. So it is with the first principles, the ABCs of the doctrine of Christ, that we looked at during our last lesson. And we never forget them. Rather, they're used to wean us from the milk of the Word. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we mature in the faith, God prepares us for strong meat. That was the title of our last message from Hebrews. Strong meat. The ABCs of the gospel are important. We don't forget them. We learned our ABCs real early in school. I remember the song, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You all remember that? But we learned them. And then those ABCs were used to help us understand words, to help us have an understanding of the language that God has given to us, so that we are prepared for adult life. And that's the ABCs, or the first principles of the gospel. Those never leave us, but they're used by God to mature us in the faith. So with that as an introduction, let me read in your hearing, and follow along with me, please, as I read the first 9 verses of Hebrews chapter 6. The Word of God says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection," or that is, maturity, "not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do," now notice how Paul words it, "if God permit." Now, God's in control of everything. If God allows this, if God permits this. And he goes on to say, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." Now, this is very important that you understand this. False preachers must take the scriptures they use to deceive their hearers out of context. completely ignoring the surrounding verses and the gospel truths that are recorded on every page of Holy Scripture. They have to leave those out. They cannot deceive the people if they bring in all of the gospel truths, the whole counsel of God. So they just take portions of Scripture or a passage of Scripture like we read from verse 4 down through verse 6. They have to take it out of context. They have to ignore the surrounding verses. For example, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, He will assure us of this God-honoring truth. He loves His chosen people with an everlasting love. And because He purchased us with His own precious blood, which is because He loved us with an everlasting love, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If the Holy Spirit dwells in us, He will reveal these truths to us. He will reveal that Jesus Christ, as Pastor Mahan quoted in his article, Jesus Christ by Himself purged our sins. Jesus Christ didn't try to redeem us. He obtained eternal redemption for us. His name is called Jesus because He was sent to save His people from their sins. He obtained that eternal redemption by laying down His life for His sheep, by His supreme sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice of Himself. He reconciled us to God. He sanctified us. He perfected us forever. I'm quoting Scripture. And if we understand Scripture, we'll believe this. If God has given us His Spirit, we'll believe these wonderful truths that Jesus Christ bore the eternal wrath of God to deliver us from the wrath to come. Our sins were laid on Jesus Christ. He was made sin for us, and as He hung there on that cross, God had to punish His darling Son because He was made sin. That's why He turned His back on Him. God cannot look upon sin. And so we have already been punished in our substitute. You get a hold of that, and you'll understand that this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 6 cannot be applicable to God's chosen blood-bought people. Cannot be. Those verses that I just quoted of Holy Scripture are as true as God Himself. And there are many, many, many more that we could quote from the Word of God, which He, our wonderful Savior, makes effectual in our hearts for His glory. Now, who then is this passage of Scripture from verse 4 to verse 6 referring to? Well, it's obvious they cannot be referring to God's people. These verses are referring to hypocrites, professing Christians who do not have the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in them, who fall away, who go out from amongst the saints where the true gospel is preached, who do not go on unto perfection. And that's what the ABCs of the gospel are given to us for this very reason, to lead us on into maturity, into perfection. Now, an unregenerate mind can be enlightened to a mental aspect of the gospel, assent to biblical truths. We're humans, but we have a mind, and we can read something in the Word of God, and we can say that's right without it being part of the inward man that God has created, without Christ being in us. We have this around us all the time. People taking portions of God's word, even people who claim to believe the five points of Calvinism, who are not regenerated by God the Holy Spirit. A person without Christ can taste of the heavenly gift, can taste of the good word of God, but God's children do not settle for a mere taste. Oh yes, we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, but we feast on Christ. One who has not experienced the miracle of the new birth can be made partaker of the Holy Ghost, that is, can agree with the Holy Spirit and the gospel that is recorded on the pages of Holy Scripture. We can go along with the teachings of the Holy Word in our unregenerate state. Judas Iscariot went along with the teaching of our Lord Jesus for over 3 years. But our Lord said of him, it's better for that man if he had never been born. We've been dealing with Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. They went along with the teachings of the apostles, but they were hell-deserving hypocrites, and they were exposed, and God killed them. And there's going to be many who stand before our Lord Jesus on the last day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? And he's going to say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Did you know Judas Iscariot cast out demons? He was given the authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. He went out with the other apostles and he performed those miracles. So that didn't make him a child of God. He went along with those things. So brethren, those unregenerate people that we read about in verses 4 through 6 are still with us today. And what they do, as Brother John brought out in his devotional this morning, is draw attention to themselves, not to Christ. They talk about what they have done. What great gifts God has given them. While all along they're nothing but self-righteous hypocrites, denying the truths of the gospel that give God all the glory. When they do what they do as hypocrites, and then leave the assembly of the saints and go somewhere else, they put the Son of God to an open shame. They don't go on to maturity. They feel like they just don't need the church anymore. I've experienced right here with different ones. Many who left, who don't even go to church at all, anywhere. And many who are now in works churches that advocate works, saying it's your will or your decision for Jesus. But let me ask you this, where can they go? Jesus Christ is the only one who has the words of eternal life.
Amen.
Only under the preaching of his glorious gospel can we mature in the faith. God has ordained that. He has ordained the ABCs that he uses to deliver us out of darkness, that he uses us to translate us into his eternal kingdom. The babes in Christ can be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's why God has given his preachers to the church for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting or for the maturity of the saints. Now the Holy Spirit of God makes a clear distinction between professors of Jesus Christ and those who possess him by this illustration. Look at verses 7 and 8 of Hebrews 6. We read, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now folks, the heavenly rain causes the thorns and the briars to grow, as well as those herbs which are dressed by the husbandman, those herbs that are blessed by God for human consumption. The good seeds, wheat and all those things, corn, those things, tomatoes. You like, you know, I can just sit down with a good ripe tomato and a salt shaker and I can enjoy just a tomato. And I don't think there's anything better than a good ripe tomato sandwich on white bread with mayonnaise. That's just wonderful. And so a good husbandman will take care of those things that he's growing for human consumption. And so there is a difference between thorns and briars and the seeds that God uses for the farmer to grow food. But there is also a difference between gospel seeds and bad seeds of thorns and briars that are planted by false preachers. There's a difference. God's preachers can plant and water the good seeds, but only God can give the increase. And God our Father is our heavenly husbandman. Our Lord Jesus tells us that in the 15th chapter of John. He says in his word, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So our heavenly Father is a husbandman. When the seeds of good truth are made effectual by his sovereign power, that's going to bring forth fruit. We're going to give our God all the praise and all the glory for what he has done. But we're still young in Christ. And so God, as the husbandman, he purgeth that fruit, so it brings forth more fruit. Our Lord Jesus went on to say, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So we have the word of God that teaches us what verses 7 and 8 are teaching here in Hebrews chapter 6. Bad seeds and good seeds, briars and thorns, and that which God uses for human consumption. And we only feast on Christ. He's the good seed. And gospel truths are the good seeds. And the Holy Spirit of God makes a clear distinction between professors of Jesus Christ and those who possess him by this illustration. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And so God's going to reject all of those who are bringing forth nothing but briars and their false teachings, thorns and their false teachings. They're cursed of God. Jesus Christ has removed the curse from us, because when he hung there on that cross, he was cursed. The Word of God tells us that. Jesus Christ redeemed his people from God's curse, being made a curse for us. We read that in the book of Galatians. All hypocrites, all those who do not believe the true gospel of Jesus Christ, all who forsake the assembly of God's saints, will suffer in the lake of God's fiery wrath for all eternity. But we've been delivered from that, like I stated earlier. So I've titled this morning's message, Things That Accompany Salvation. And just in case you have not yet been convinced that verses 4 through 6 do not refer to God's enlightened saints, look at verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Evidently, what we read in verses 4 through 6 are not necessarily things that accompany salvation. Or verse 9 would not be worded the way it is. And Paul stated, though we thus speak. And when he stated that, he was referring to other gospel truths he had already written in the book of Hebrews. Other gospel truths he had preached ever since the Lord delivered him from darkness. That was his calling. His calling was to preach Jesus Christ. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, we have already touched on some of those things that Paul preached, but let me share with you some very precious things that accompany salvation, things that God Himself gives to His saints. God gives His saints preachers that He Himself delivered from that camp of sinful, self-righteous people. He takes those men that He reveals His gospel to, and under the preaching of His gospel, He equips them. Only God can do that. He gives them the desire to preach His gospel. Not everybody is called to preach the glorious gospel truth. All of God's saints are called to be faithful witnesses. But God's preachers are called to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we must be equipped. And God does that under the preaching of His gospel from faithful preachers that He has already equipped. And God must send out His preachers. He does that. He sends them to the places where He has ordained for the purpose of calling out His saints, for the purpose of delivering those for whom He died into His waiting arms. God does that. This is not by chance that I'm standing here in this pulpit. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So, God gives His preachers for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of His saints. And God gives us His Holy Spirit, who alone can give us eternal life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that gives life. The flesh does not profit anything. God gives us a new heart, an enlightened mind, true saving faith to receive Jesus Christ and His glorious gospel, to understand spiritual truth. Who has known the mind of God? The Holy Spirit. And we can't know spiritual truths without the Holy Spirit. We read that also in 1 Corinthians. We read that if God doesn't send the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness unto us. It's foolishness. But it's foolishness to them that perish. But unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. God gives us a love for Jesus Christ. You all love Him? You never, before the Lord came into your heart. Your heart, my heart of every person that comes into this world hates Jesus Christ, hates His gospel, hates His people, and would rather be in a church that teaches man's works than where the true gospel is being preached. Well, God gives us that love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And when He gives us His love, we love Jesus Christ. We don't love God if we don't love Jesus Christ. He is God. We love His gospel. We don't love His gospel unless the love of God is in our heart. And we love His people. And this love we have for one another will do just what we heard in Sunday school this morning. It will move us to be concerned about one another. We will minister to one another's needs. We'll cover the sins of others. We won't expose them, because love covers a multitude of sins, which Brother Michael Smith brought out in his Sunday school lesson this morning. We know that God's love covers our sin. We know they're gone. They're more than covered. They're removed from us forever. And if God has forgiven us, we ought also to forgive one another. This is just how love works. So we'll love one another with a pure, fervent love that comes from God. And God has given us persevering grace that keeps us looking to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, and a sincere desire to assemble with God's people for public worship as often as we can, to be under the preaching of his gospel. I'm going to tell you the truth. There's nothing that satisfies this old country preacher that's standing before you like the gospel satisfied. There are things that I like in this world. I love my wife. She satisfies my needs, humanly speaking, but only the preaching of the gospel can satisfy my spiritual need, and that spiritual need is Christ. I must be under the preaching of the gospel or preaching the gospel. And really, if I'm not preaching the gospel, that's my second choice, is to be where the gospel is being preached. That's why I don't usually schedule myself to preach during the conferences. I want to be out there. I need preached to. I'm like a sponge. I just soak it up. We need this. Peter says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to grow in grace if we're not assembling where God's amazing grace is being preached for the glory of His darling Son. You all know that we need nutritious food to keep us healthy, physically speaking. And when I was a baby, I liked milk. And I still can drink a cold glass of milk. I still like it. But I like a good, strong, rare steak that Brother Michael spoke about this morning. I like a rare steak with the seasoning on. You know, I love it. I need gospel truths to feed my spiritual soul, don't you?
Yes.
So God gives us persevering grace, and He gives us a desire to continue in the faith, to keep looking to Christ, to keep ourselves under the preaching of the gospel. He gives us a desire to obey Him by going into the waters of baptism, making a public profession of faith before others, our faith in Christ. He gives us a desire to come to the Lord's table on a regular basis. How many of you attend the Lord's table on a regular basis? And if you don't, why don't you? It's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But this is the love we have. We want to be there. We want to do what His word commands us to do. Pastor Milton Howard wrote this excellent article. He said, those who halt between two opinions know just enough of God's word that you cannot enjoy the things of this world, and have just enough of this world that you can find no peace in the promises of God's word. You have the fears of the word without its hopes. You have the duties of the word without its joys. You have to act like godly people act, but there's no heart in it. You have to sit at the table spread with the bread of life, but cannot eat it. You get among the saints and try to talk like they do, and you sound like someone trying to speak a foreign language he learned from a book. End of quote. And he's right. He's right. God deals with the heart. And if Jesus Christ is not in the heart, we'll do just exactly what verses 4 through 6 teach us. Have a profession of faith, but we do not possess Christ. Nothing but hypocrites. I want to read you an article that I have written. It's in today's bulletin. It's on the right page in the middle of your bulletin. And I read this to draw your attention to the importance of having Christ in your heart, not just professing Him. Those who teach that a chosen, blood-bought child of God can lose his salvation are nothing but self-righteous works religionists. They do not know Jesus Christ, therefore they do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they did, they would not put the Son of God to an open shame. Not only is such sinful Christ-denying doctrine contrary to the clear teachings of Holy Scripture, Not only does it make the perfect life of Jesus Christ, the God-man, and his sufferings meaningless, not only does such false doctrine call Jesus Christ, who is the truth, a liar, it portrays our sovereign, omnipotent, immutable, triune God, who purposed the salvation of his elect, a failure. Brethren, that sinful doctrine is nothing but hell-deserving blasphemy. Our wonderful, merciful covenant God gives his promised children things that accompany salvation. He gives us his anointed ministers to preach his glorious gospel to us. He sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts to guide us into all truth. He gives us true saving faith by which we embrace Jesus Christ and his gospel. He gives us an enlightened mind that agrees with what God's holy word says about our sinful, helpless, hopeless, hell-deserving condition. He grants us repentance unto life. He gives us persevering grace that keeps us looking to Jesus Christ. He puts his love in our heart. His love for us and our love for him constrains us, that is, compels us to live for his glory. God the Holy Spirit gives his redeemed children eternal life, promising us that we will never perish. He gives us a true, sincere desire to continue in the faith, a sincere desire to assemble on a regular basis where the true gospel of his sovereign amazing grace is preached. End of quote. Now let me tell you why God has given us things that accompany salvation. Why he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want to share one of my favorite passages of scripture that's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 32 through 34. We read, speaking of God, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we, from the hand of God, we have received all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I was sharing this with Judy just yesterday, my precious wife. I was talking to her about this. In our unregenerate state, we had absolutely nothing to offer God in exchange for our eternal soul. We had absolutely no good in us at all. There was nothing that God saw in us that pleased him. To the contrary, everything about us was an abomination to God. That's why this old flesh must go back to the dust from whence it came. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But that new creation that God has created in us, that's pleasing to him. Faith that God has given to us, that's pleasing to him because he's the one who gave it. We have these things from God himself because it pleased him to give us these things that pertain unto life and godliness. Jesus Christ. And if we have him, we have it all. Amen? Amen. And the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The word in the Holy Word of God is irrevocable. And that's what it means, without repentance. God is immutable. He cannot change. He cannot go back on his word. He cannot allow one for whom Christ died to perish because he promised his darling son that upon meeting all the conditions of the eternal covenant, his blood-bought children not only would be conformed to his image, but be in his presence forever and forever and forever. As Brother Michael said this morning, that's a day to look forward to. Amen?
Amen.
That's a day when all of God's saints who have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them long for, when we'll be free from this body of death, when we'll no longer be plagued with sinful thoughts, no longer have the weaknesses of the flesh that cause us to do things that are not pleasing in the sight of God, but we'll please him forever and forever. because of His amazing grace that He bestows upon us through the gospel alone, by grace alone, for the glory of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Brother John, please.